God's using our young men and women. And I'm thankful to be a part of a church where God's moving in their lives. You know, we see, hear him read that scripture right there. And he's an impressive reader, by the way. Let's give him another round of applause. You know, there's a little story I want to tell you in just a moment before we get started. My wife and I went to see a speaker one time. And it was a Christian speaker, and I really enjoyed it. It was a very good speaker. And he told a story. And I want to tell it to you today. It's brief, and I'm going to read it. So if you would, just bear with me. And I think we can all benefit from this. There was a little boy, and he was meeting with another little boy. The first little boy said to the other one, he said, "Well, Sam, will you tell me the parable of the Good Samaritan?" Little boy answered, said, "Yes, sir, I will. I gladly will." He said, "Once there was this man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked him. And as he was on his way, he didn't have no money. Then there he met the Queen of Sheba, and she gave him 1,000 talents and 100 changes of raiment. And he got into a chariot and drove furiously, and he was driving under a big juniper tree. His hair got caught on the limb of that tree and hung there many days. And the ravens brought him food to eat and water to drink, and he ate 5,000 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. One night when he was hanging there asleep, his wife Delilah came along and cut off his hair. And he dropped and fell upon the stony ground, but he got up and went on, and it began to rain. And it rained and rained 40 days and 40 nights. And he hid himself in a cave, and he lived on locusts and wild honey. Then he went on to tell he met a servant who said, 'Come take supper at my house.' And he made excuses and said, 'No, I won't. I have married a wife and can't go.' And the servant went onto the highways and to the hedges and compelled him to come in. After supper, he went and came down there to Jericho. And he got there and he looked up and saw that old Queen Jezebel sitting way up in the high window. And she laughed at him. And he said, 'Throw her down out here.' And they threw her down. And he said, 'Throw her down again.' And they threw her down 70 times 7. And the fragments that remained, they picked up 12 basketfuls besides women and children. And they said, 'Blessed are the peacemakers.' Now, whose wife do you think she will be on that judgment day?" You know, that's a story that we can read and we can laugh in a place like this. Why? Because we're familiar with the Word of God. And we can look at that and we can say, well, that's not exactly how that went. But it's a kind of a young man thing. And I'll tell you why I say that. When I read this story, what I see is I see young people today that are trying their best to honor what God has given them to do. And it's not always perfect, is it? But I think if we look at ourselves, it's not always perfect either. And we have a calling on our life. I have a calling on my life. I'm sure a lot of you in this room have recognized the calling. You're trying to do what God's called you to do. Sometimes it's ugly. Sometimes it's hard. There's a friend of mine that I've been praying for, and I remember the very first time. Now, he's an atheist. He doesn't believe. I remember the first time I spoke to him about the gospel and the Lord. And I remember the way that I did it, and I did the very best that I could. But I look at it now, and I think, man, I wish I would have done that differently. And if I had the opportunity to do it again, I may do it differently. It's not that I told him something that wasn't true. I just didn't feel like I loved him enough through it. You ever been there? Sometimes it's that way. That's the way some of our young people are here today. They're trying their best. And they're going to grow and they're going to learn. And they're going to be closer and closer to God. And it's going to look a little different as time goes by. But this morning they've done a great job. Amen. Amen. They've done a great job. And what you see is you begin to see the presence of Jesus in their life. And they're going to grow and get better and better. And that's what I want to start with this morning. Now, Preston come up, and what he did was he give you a story from the book of Acts where Paul is standing before two men, Festus and Agrippa. Now, the conversation from Agrippa is very small. Festus has a few choice words to say. And Paul is speaking from a different standpoint than Agrippa is. Now, Paul goes before him, and really what's could happen here is that if Agrippa wanted to, Paul could lose his life. Paul could die depending on what he said. Now, that usually will affect someone's speech. It would affect my speech. I'd be very careful what I said. But Paul, being full of the Holy Spirit, stood before Agrippa, and when he had the opportunity, he told him exactly what Jesus Christ had did in his life. And when he told him that, versus him do anything else, he turned and actually give the gospel in a small version to Agrippa. He said, "You know what the prophets have said, and I believe you believe them." And what was Agrippa's response? He said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." I've preached out of this same scripture. I think this is the third time, and every time it's been different. And that's just the way that God's given it to me, so we're going to look at it this morning. So where's Paul coming from? He's coming from a very, very internal dwelling of Christ. Jesus lives in Paul at that point. The Holy Spirit is there, and he's speaking to someone who is completely different. Agrippa actually looks at God in an existential way, or a completely outside view of God. You know, this is painting a picture for us today that we can be very, very close to. The picture may look like what some of our church life looks like. People say, "What do you mean? I can see the ears in the crowd." I want to be clear how I say this. There are so many people in this room right here that have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them that are close to God, right? I'm saved. I know that. Jesus Christ saved my soul, and because of it, His Spirit lives in me. But sometimes what we find is people in church that maybe haven't gotten the same thing I did. Maybe they're still looking at the Lord from an existential or outside point of view. You look at the bond between Paul and the Lord. Look how it changed him. It's much, much different. So when I read a piece of scripture like this, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to learn what God has for me out of this right here. And you look at Paul explaining his personal bond, which is what I'm talking about, his personal bond to Jesus Christ. What can I take for my life when I know that not everybody I talk to is saved? Some people that maybe even I go to church with, maybe they're not. Does it affect me? It does. Does it affect how I preach? Yes. Does it affect how I teach? Yes. Does it affect how I'll be a friend? Yes. Does it affect the amount of love I show to somebody who may not be a Christian? It should. It should. Paul had the opportunity to say anything that he wanted. And he actually was trying to save the life of Agrippa. Just giving him the truth. Just giving him the truth. So why is the bond so important? Because it's personal. Because the bond is personal. You know, we come in here together. We gather in this youth group together corporately. We're all here together, right? We worship together. We praise together. We love Him together. But we cannot be saved as a group. We have to be saved individually. So why is the bond important? Because it's personal. When Jesus went to the cross, He said, what did He say? He said, "I'm going to save which was lost." Everybody in the house, if you are a born-again Christian, at one point you were lost. Jesus fulfilling that promise. He came to save which was lost. He saved us one at a time. It may have happened at the same time, but it was one at a time. So why is the bond personal? Because we can't be saved corporately. And also, and there's a lot of it in this room, it creates testimony. So I can go to somebody else and I can say, I don't have to read this whole book to deliver the gospel to somebody. I don't. I don't know this whole book. In fact, I think every time I read it, I know less about it. It gets bigger every time I open it. every single time. But I can go to somebody and say, let me tell you what Jesus has done for me. And that's what Paul's doing. He's giving him a testimony. He's saying, God, come to me, and he spoke to my heart, and I listened. But I want you to look at the 19th verse, important verse. This is what he says to Agrippa. He says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. He's saying, I listened to him. And when he did, it changed my life. And I'm following him now. That's the personal side of the bond between you and Christ. On Monday nights, we have Celebrate Recovery here. And Brother Tom has invited people to come in and give their testimony. And some of the greatest things I've ever heard come out of a man or a woman's mouth have taken place right here on Monday night. You know what they do? They tell you what happened in their life to get them to where they're at. But sometimes it looks like that story we read to begin with. It starts off that way. It's kind of a mess. And then you see Jesus come on the scene and begin to shape and change them. And you know that it's personal. It's personal. Why do I have a testimony? I agree. I agree with the Bible. I'm supposed to share it with you so that more and more would be saved. If the bond is personal, the bond is also sincere. How can I know that it's sincere? Because I didn't create the bond. The bond come from him. Amen. Yes. You know, he went to a cross. He came here with a purpose. And Jesus got all the way up on that cross thinking of me. You know, we often think he died for the world's sin. He did. But I want to tell you, he died for me and you individually. Yes. And when you're saved, you begin to think of it that way. You think, Lord, look at what you've done for me. Because he loves me. The bond is sincere. He came for me personally. And the believer feels that bond. And that we know that the only way it would have ever happened is through the death of Christ. You know, you ever wondered, why couldn't God just say, I want them all to be saved and just speak it into existence? Could he have done it? He could. But it's not the way that he did it. He did it in such a way that everything's been done, but I do have a responsibility in this. It's to do my part. And if I see that the personal side and the sincere side, and I understand the strength of that bond, I said all that to really get to this. If you've ever met Jesus and you've ever been saved, you realize the strength and you also realize the value. Some of you in here may have old sports cars that you cherish and love. Some of us have fishing rods and bass boats. Some of us have all kinds of things that we love in life. And if you put a scratch on it, I'm going to be mad. You know what I'm saying? Don't scratch it. Because it's valuable. Shouldn't we feel the exact same way about the bond to Jesus? Yet so often, so many people today, they don't value that bond the way that it should be. Paul held it so high in his life that that was the most important thing that he could possibly have, because he knew that Jesus was strong, and once he had that connection, he was not willing that anything damage it. So what do you mean by damage it? Where I go, who I go with, what I say, how I act, when I pray, if I pray, do I read, if I read, all matters. It all matters. I want the relationship to be strong and I want to tend to it. But the love of the Lord has a greater purpose than just the corporate side here. It's individually in us. And I'm going to get beyond this. But I went to a concert here recently where there were... It was a smaller concert. It was a Christian concert where a lot of people had the opportunity to come down front and worship. And they went down and they raised their hands and they swayed back and forth, and it was beautiful. And I loved it. But what happened was, as the concert was over and the people began to leave, people began to go their separate ways, what you found is, if you watched close enough, and I'm a people watcher, I'm sure you figured that out, they began to lose some of that worship. And their language went back to the way that it was. And their actions, and maybe even the clothes that they wear, maybe needed just a touch more modesty. And he looked at it and he said, do they hold this relationship with Jesus in such high regard that they watch their life so carefully that they don't want to damage it? And you begin to think, what's missing? Amen. It's the personal side. Yeah. That He's my Savior. Yeah. And there's a verse of Scripture for that. And it's spot on. Jesus said it in the 5th chapter of Matthew. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Amen.
And you say, well, what do you mean, righteousness? What do you mean? What am I hunting? What am I looking for? Let me tell you, there's another piece of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul's words again. Verse 30 says, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, whom of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Go back to that Matthew verse. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. I don't like to replace words in the Bible. But if you wanted to put Jesus in the spot where righteousness was, it would be accurate. Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst after Jesus, for they shall be filled.
Amen. No doubt.
Young people today, let me tell you, there are so many things in this world that you can fill up your heart and your mind. But if you'll dedicate yourself to fill it up with the Lord, it'll change your life. And your world. You know, the Bible does give it in such a way that we can see faith can be measured. So how do I measure my faith? Look where you put it. Where do I place my faith? Sometimes I place it in myself. Sometimes I place it in a job. Sometimes I place it in a talent. But that's all incorrect. I have to place it in Christ Himself. Do I trust Him? Filled with faith is my first point. We're going to go through three of them. Why would I say that? Because faith is the driving force to my relationship with Jesus Christ. It is faith, because you will not spend any time with Him if you don't believe Him. You won't spend time in the Word if you don't believe God. You won't give Him credit if you don't believe the credit is His. Faith is the driving force, and there's three parts to that. One is being forgiven. I'm never going to love the Lord if He didn't save my soul. When He saves you, you got to love Him for something. What do I love Him for? That I'm not going to go to hell. That I'm going to be able to live a life for Him. And that He looks at all the things that I did. And even when I move forward and mess up, He's going to be right there, and forgiveness is ready.
Amen.
But once a man or a woman is forgiven, they need to be and should be redeemed. I'm not who I used to be. I'm different. I'm not exactly like that anymore. Do I still struggle? Yes. Yeah, sometimes I work too much. Sometimes I fish too much. Sometimes I don't pray enough. But I'm not like I used to be. To be redeemed, if one has been forgiven and one is redeemed, the next thing that happens is a man or a woman begins to worship. And those three things are all a part of faith. Because there's got to be a time in life where you can say, as an individual, how did I get to be like this? Like that, right there. I can say, Jesus, thank You for what You've done in my life. Thank You, Lord. And I worship You because You are worthy. So how can I be filled with faith? Those three things. Those three things. You cannot be redeemed. You cannot worship if you're not forgiven. I know that simple gospel. Does it need to be any more complicated? You know, without faith, my bond to Christ is severed. It's not the same. It can't be there. But this youth group is different. Did you see them come down to an altar and pray? Amen. That's faith. That's faith. Look at young people in their teens coming down to an altar saying, God, thank you, and God, help me. Here's the truth. Moms and dads, sometimes we need a notebook. We need to be taking notes. Sometimes they teach us. Sometimes they teach us. They cherish the faith. Because faith is the driving force that keeps you and I in touch with the Lord. Second point. You can also be filled with the Spirit. Brother Joe preached an entire sermon one time on the life of Barnabas, or little segments of it, and I remember it. And I remember this one as well. Can you be filled with the Spirit of God? I believe you can. You can go back and you can look through your Bible and you can see where it literally says someone's full of the Holy Ghost. Looking in the same book, the book of Acts in the 11th chapter, and the 22nd verse, speaking of Barnabas, says, the tidings of these things come to the ears of the church, which were in Jerusalem. And they sent forth who? Barnabas. That he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, who were glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith. And much people were added unto the Lord. What happens when a young person today, being full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost, goes out into the world with a purpose? People saved. People around them are changed. You know, we don't see as much of that as we used to. You know, when you think of high school and you think of middle school, to be honest, it's a field where the Lord needs to be poured out. But I don't think it's being done like it should be. We got these 30, 40, maybe 50 going into 1,500, 3,000, sometime 4,500. Now they're carrying God with them. Can God use them? He is using them. But there needs to be more. When you're filled up with the Spirit of God, nothing's going to stop you because it is His will. And if you're willing to follow Him, the Spirit that lives in you will tell you and guide you and give you everything that you need if you'll just listen to Him. Well, no, you look at Barnabas and you see that many were added to the church because of his faith and the Spirit that lived in him. But if you look at the presence of Jesus in someone's life, it comes from the amount of Spirit that God has put in them that they're willing to receive. You know, there's times in my life where I can look back and say, I wish I would have done it this way, dot, dot, dot. But I was doing the very best I could based on what I thought was right, based on what the Spirit of the Lord living in me. But I'm steadily learning. We look back at our life from when we were young to where we are now, and some of you think I'm a baby. But in just about a month, I'll be 40. Yeah, see, he said I was a baby. But some of these over here think I'm ancient. They compare me to the Aztecs. I'm old. My hairline looks like I'm 50. My heart feels like I'm 20. You know, that's the way that I am right now. But the presence of the Lord in my life comes from His Spirit. And I'll show you what I mean by that. Just to kind of give you an illustration. When you love the Lord, other people know it. You can't hide it. You know, me and another young man worked together at a place over in Douglasville. And it seems like daily we have multiple conversations with people about God. Some of them are saved and we fellowship together. Some of them are lost and we cry together. That's the way things like that are. But if you're saved and you're full of the Spirit of God that He gives, that He promised would come, other people will know it. That's a good way, young people, to examine yourself. Say, how do I know I'm saved? I'm not saved by my feelings, right? No. Like Brother Joe says, praise God, I can still feel it, though. I can look and I say, is God using me? Am I spreading His word? Am I doing what God's called me to do? Because without His Spirit, you can attend every church service. You can sing every song. You can read every word. Without being saved, you're not going to have His Spirit. And you will wander aimlessly for a lifetime.
Amen.
You know, when I was a young man, I wanted to race motocross. I did it for about a year and a half. My bones started hurting. So I quit. You know, then I wanted to do this hobby, and I did it for a little while. Then I wanted to do this hobby and did it for a while. I was wandering aimlessly. If I would have had all that money back, I'd be rich. I spent money in everything you can imagine. I got softball bats, gloves, golf clubs, fishing rods, guns, boats, cars, trucks. I got rid of all the motorcycles. Just silly stuff. I didn't love that stuff. I was just goofing off. I was just wandering aimlessly. If I would have put as much attention into following the Lord at a very, very young age, I believe I could have missed some of that stuff. If you look at it, if you're wandering aimlessly and you say, "Or you know, how do I know?" Look at the misguided. Today, people are looking for acceptance. And they're looking for their life to be made whole and be made right. And we got groups of people all across this nation that are chasing things that are bad for them. They're bad for you. They're bad for them. And not very many people are telling them that that's not going to bring you any joy. We got a group that goes to Washington every single day and asks for money from our government, hoping that our government would sponsor what God calls sin. We got a group of people that go to the White House every single day and lobby for money, hoping that the government will pay for what God calls murder. They're wandering aimlessly. They're looking for acceptance. They're looking to be right with something. But how in the world could they ever expect to go get it the right way on their own? Because they're missing the key element.
Amen.
They're missing the element that God has always intended for man, that would walk with Him hand in hand. All the way back from the beginning. That's always been the intention. So when I look and I say, am I filled with His Spirit? The question does beckon for an answer. Say, am I filled with faith? It can be answered. Because we look at the last point. Am I full of the Lord's purpose? Now, we watched a video up here of a guy with no arms and no legs. Did you see that guy move?
Yes.
He's impressive. You look and you say, how in the world could God use a guy like that? And I saw him speaking to a stadium of folks. And they were listening to Him. And God was moving. And all the great things that went along with it, right? He had a purpose in life. When he was willing to listen to Him, God helped him live out that purpose. And I think back to the part we're talking about over being forgiven and being redeemed and worshiping all have to take place if I'm ever going to get to that in my life. Because God sets life in order. God puts the things together. It's whether I'll be obedient. Our teenagers today, you ever wonder why, hey, I just don't fit in? Why don't I fit in with the rest of everybody else? Because that's not the purpose that He's put in your life. You're not called to be like everybody else. You're called to be His. You're called to fulfill the purpose. You're called to follow and listen and be faithful and listen to God. If people could just grasp that, you don't have to make it. God will make it for you. You just got to listen to Him. God set everything in order. I remember vividly, probably about 15 years ago, well, about 10 years ago, I spent a little time over in Alabama for a company I was working for. And the power company out there had a job open. Well, I wanted to live in Alabama. Why? Because it's got all the greatest bass lakes in the world. That's where I wanted to live. And the guy told me, he said, working about 60 hours a week, maybe more. He said, it's a minimum of 60. And I said, he said, I think the job starts off at $31 an hour. Well, I was excited immediately. He said, I think I can get you in. And I remember thinking about that, going back and forth to Alabama. I was doing a completely different job. And I thought, if I can just talk my wife into moving to Alabama, I got it made. Well, I went home and I thought, well, I'm going to introduce this easily, see what she does. I said, wouldn't you like to live in Alabama? She said, nope, don't even go any farther. And I thought, well, how else am I going to convince her? Well, the more I got to thinking on that, the more I got to thinking about what God would have me do, you know what I come up with? That's not what God wanted for me. Because if I'd have moved to Alabama, the chances of me standing right here are very slim. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. God has a purpose for you young people. Don't be so hasty just to run out and do whatever you want. Run it before the Lord. He'll guide you. He'll put things like there ought to be. So many people set out today full of hope and intention, and not even in bad ways, but they find that they have failed. Why? Because they went at it without God. They went at it on their own. I want to give you this right here. The most joyful time that a person will ever have in their entire life, the most joyful time you'll ever have, the most joyful time you'll ever have, the most joyful time you'll ever have is this right here. When you find yourself faithfully in the middle of God's will. I didn't say that you'd be wealthy. I didn't say that you would have a driveway full of vehicles and a mansion. But when you find yourself honoring God faithfully in the middle of His will, joy will dwell in you. Because you'll know that you're right with Him, and no matter what happens, including if you lose your life, that you'll spend eternity with Him. Amen. That is the most joy in life. If I could just figure out how to get that on a pamphlet and pass it out in mailboxes, I would. But that's what God is looking for you and I to do. That's what God is looking for you and I to do, to honor Him faithfully. And I'm going to ask them to get ready with a song. And they're going to play here in just a little bit. And our youth are musically talented. They're singers. They got all kinds of talent. I love these young people. They're a blessing to me. They're definitely a blessing to the Lord. What I want to do is, I want to put it to you kind of just pretty blunt. Sometimes our life is a mess. But we can put on a good-looking set of clothes and we can come through the doors of a church and sit down and nobody else knows it. But God knows it. And here I am looking at Him in the face. I'm in His house where His Spirit is in a service just like this. And I say, I'm having a problem with that forgiveness. I'm having a problem with that redemption. And I'm really having a problem worshiping. Maybe I don't have the faith that I need. Maybe the Spirit's not thick enough in my life because I sure don't know my purpose. The two pairs, you got three on both sides, right? And you say, well, I'm missing part of that. You don't have to leave here missing it. Amen. Yes. We can come right down here to an altar where God is present and say, God, help me. Yes. Lord, I'm here. I know You. Will You just help me? Maybe you're saying, I've never been forgiven. I definitely have not been forgiven. I've never said, God, save my soul. And therefore, I'm not redeemed, and I'm definitely not going to worship like that. Do you know you can change that today, too? Yes. You come right down here. You know what prayer God's going to hear? When you say, God, save my soul. I believe what Jesus did on the cross was for me. He'll hear that. Yes. And He'll take care of His end of that. Amen. You can do it this morning. Are they going to play a song? If God's speaking to your heart, I pray that you'd come down here and have a conversation with Him that'll change your world. Maybe you know somebody sitting beside you. You know they're struggling. It's all right to grab them by the arm and say, let's go pray together. Here at Hiram First Baptist, men pray with men. Women pray with women. We can come right down here. We can get it right today. Amen. Because if we can get it right in here, maybe we can go out and get it right out there. God's speaking to your heart. I pray that you'd move.